Thank you so much for your singing. And now our brother.
Thank you, Les. It looks like he's revived tonight a bit after yesterday. We nearly killed him on the golf course. You noticed last night he could hardly move his hands, but he looked as if he's back to life. Good to see that, Les. And we had a very profitable time in physical exercise, but the spiritual exercise, of course, that we've been having night by night is even better. And the fellowship that we've had with you has just simply been grand. It just occurred to me that what we have, two nights left, three services tomorrow night, God willing, and Sunday morning, and then Sunday night, which will conclude our study and prophetic messages. And as we said at the beginning, we're not preaching or taking up prophetic subjects just for curiosity or to arouse curiosity or even to satisfy curiosity of people, but because we believe it's an important subject. One-fourth of the Bible has to do with prophecy, and so we believe it is significant that we at least pay attention to it. And I was going over 23 specific prophecies today in relation to the death of Christ alone. 23 of them. Marked them down. And it's just amazing how they were so perfectly fulfilled to the very letter, to the very detail. But we want to take up the subject of the Antichrist. There are many questions asked about him today. We do not have all the answers, but we could certainly give you what the Scripture has to say about him. Revelation 13, reading from verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head, or his head, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his feet and great authority. The figures that we have of animals just give you some idea of the nature of the Antichrist. The leopard, the bear, the crushing power that he will have, the lion that's swift, and also similar to that of Satan, who is likened to a lion that devoureth. And then verse 3, and I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months, or 3.5 years, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exercises all the power of the first beast, the first creature, before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And we want you to turn to a few verses in Thessalonians, the second epistle to Thessalonians. Chapter 2. Let's read from verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. There's a title given to the Antichrist. As one of them is another, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? It's amazing how the Apostle Paul would give such a subject, teach such a subject to young believers that had only been saved about 3 weeks. And here we find him giving them teaching regarding the coming of the Lord and even about the Antichrist. It's amazing. So you're not too young in the Lord even to learn about him. Verse 5, I repeat, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And that's obvious today. The working of the iniquities that we've been talking about all week. The shadows, in fact, we've got more than shadows. The four deadly sins, or sins that said would be prevalent today, prior to the coming of the Lord and even the establishment of the reign of the Antichrist, such as murder, theft, adultery, and demonism. And here you have verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth or hinder will hinder until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed. Another title given to him, see? Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. When Christ comes, he's going to deal with the Trinity, including Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. The three of them, but he's going to deal with the three and by the brightness of his coming. Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness and of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions. Strange, isn't it? But God says, I'm going to send them a lie. They won't believe the truth. They won't believe the record of my word. I've been pleading with them. I've been patient. I've been long-suffering. The last 2,000 years, God has been long-suffering with humanity, calling them to repentance. He said, all right, you won't have my Christ, my son. I'll let you have another Christ. But he's going to be the false Christ. He's going to be the one that will really delude you. So I'll send you strong delusions that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned. Strong words. Who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's all we'll read for the time being. In chapter 12 of the book of Revelation, there's an interesting note there. Gives us some idea why the devil is so busy. It's because it says he knoweth how short his time is. Very interesting verse. And a verse that I refer to quite often. You wonder why we have wars in the domestic realm in our home life. You wonder why we have wars in the church life. in our governmental system. You wonder why there's war in the dope or drug world. You wonder why we have wars, the financial wars and international wars. My friend, listen, the satanic power, Satan, who is behind it, masterminding the whole affair, because he knows his time is short. And he's a great prophetic student. He knows the Bible. Believe me, he does. And even when we're studying, he looks over our shoulders. And of course, I announced last night that we will be taking up the subject and preaching on it. And I have to spend a lot more time in prayer as a result of it. Some of you may not understand what I'm talking about. But quite often, I have been subject to the attack of Satan whenever I take up the subject. And we've had no end of problems, but God is gracious, and the comforting word of God is, greater is he that is in you, the Holy Spirit, than he that is in the world, the devil. But I am no match for the devil, neither are you, child of God. And no, as I said recently, it is a sad mistake to joke or jest about the devil. Too many jokes are made about him. My friend, listen, he is not a long-horned creature going around with a long tail and a pitchfork in his hand. No, in fact, he was a beautiful creature. God made him a beautiful creature. Lucifer was his name. But pride was found in him, and he was lifted up, and he said, I will be like the Most High. I will, I will, I will. Five times over in the book of Isaiah, you have Satan lifting himself up against God. There are a lot of mysteries surrounding him. But here he is in the world today. He tempts the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the temptation, he offers him the same three temptations as he did to Adam. Adam failed in his temptation, but the Lord Jesus did not. He even offered Christ the kingdoms of the world, if you will just bow down and worship me. How much of the kingdoms of the world he's in possession of tonight, I am not prepared to say. I cannot speculate. But the devil has more power than we give him credit for. And he has more possession than we give him credit for. But I want to say it this way. The devil is like a tenant. It's only on a temporary basis. And it won't be long until Christ will take him, as we have in Revelation 19, take him and the Antichrist and the false prophet, and will subject them to the bottomless pit. He will chain them and keep them there, and the devil especially for 1,000 years will be imprisoned. A lot of people wish that was true even right now. But let's be realistic. He is alive. One man, Hal Lindsey, wrote a book, He is Alive and Well. Long time ago I read that book, and it's really a good book, a tremendous presentation of the truth of Satan's existence. And so you might sing in the little choruses in Sunday school, Satan is a sly old fox. I'll catch him and put him in a box. I always cringe when I hear that, as I said recently. I don't like that chorus. You don't put the devil in a box. He'll put you in one, but you don't put him in one. You can't sing or joke about him. You must be very, very careful, even the songs that are written about the devil. My friend, listen, Michael, the angel of God, the messenger of God, wouldn't even argue with the devil over the body of Moses. Wouldn't bring a railing accusation against him. He said, the Lord deal with thee. And so, my friend, listen, we're dealing with a powerful man, or person rather, not a man. We're dealing with a powerful personality. He is alive, and he's here. And one of the great works of the devil, if you're here and you're not a Christian, Paul writing to the Corinthians says, the work of the devil is to blind the mind of the unconverted so that they should not see or not understand the truth of the gospel. That's the greatest work of the devil today, my friend, if you're here and you're not a Christian. That is, you're not born from above. That is, if you've never had a personal encounter and experience with Jesus Christ, the Lord, in your heart. The devil's business is to blind you. And he's done a good job of that down through the century. But thank God the Holy Spirit has also been convicting and been wooing and been winning many, many souls unto the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's bidding for your soul tonight if you're not a Christian. I want you to be aware of that. And so here we have the Trinity, the devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. Three of them are mentioned in the verses we read tonight. And it is striking. Here is this man, and we've got books written by him today, or I should say of him today, and they've even got movies out of him. I went home last night after announcing the subject for tonight, and I forget the title, but something to do with conflict. The same man who wrote Omen 1 and Omen 2. Two movies, I understand, and I think that's the title. I may be wrong with that. I can't remember too well, but they say it was so popular they had to hold it over in the theater. Because so many people want to see it. You know, perhaps you saw it. A little child that was as a result of the presence of the child, the mother, through an accident was killed, and there were psychic powers that this child had and grew up, and I don't know much else. I haven't seen them. You see, I was only told this. But what I'm getting at is this, that whoever's writing this book, or these books, and producing the movies of them, perhaps he's trying to prepare the world that there is a literal Antichrist or great powerful figure coming upon this scene or in this world, and he's going to be a great leader, a political leader, and he's going to be worshipped, and he's going to have unique powers. And by the way, that's not very difficult to understand. If we could get a man today, as in the Philadelphia, one of the main papers said recently, we are looking for a Messiah to help us out of our dilemma that we're in. And then, of course, in Europe, in the common market country, was a leader there, and I quote, he said, we want a Superman to help us out of this economic crisis that we're in. Can you imagine that? And in the World Banking Association of the world, one of the leading bankers said that what we need is a man that can deliver us out of the mess, the financial mess that we're in. Here we are already, leading figures of the world, crying for some Superman, some fellow with some kind of ability that will deliver them out of the dilemma that we find ourselves in. So it's easy to see. Let one man come along with a little power, greater or unique, let's say, power that he has, an ability, who can have some answers to some of the problems. They'll worship him. They'll accept him, and they'll crown him as the President of the United States of Europe in no time flat. And he's coming. Someone said, asked recently, is he alive? I really believe he is. I honestly believe he is alive. I believe he's perhaps a college graduate even now. That's my conviction. And I can't go no further than that. Sufficient to say that he will be our super brained man. That is, he's going to have a lot of power. But look at the three. The devil, he takes the place of God. The Antichrist, he takes the place of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the false prophet, who is the religious figure now, the religious leader that we read about, he takes the place of the Holy Spirit. And what does God do? God, in his power, in his love, sends a message to the world of salvation, calling sinners to come. That's what God is doing. How? Through the person of his Son, Jesus the Messiah, offering peace to the world. And how is this done through Christ? By the Holy Spirit's presence today. And the Holy Spirit speaks to hearts, convicts men and women of their sin, and wooing them to Christ. God's Spirit is here tonight. And the Spirit of God is here to win men and women for his Son. Now the devil comes along and says, that's beautiful. Why can't we not do the same thing? So Satan says, I'll be God. The Antichrist, and I'll be the Messiah offering the world peace. But it's a false peace. And what is the prophet doing in Jerusalem? And he's got to be a Jew. And so he is. He's a religious figure in Palestine. And what does he do? He's getting people to follow the image of the Antichrist, which no doubt will be the political figure of Europe, the United States of Europe. And so he's wooing, he's winning converts to the Antichrist. You see the imitation or the imitating of the work of God? The devil is a master at this, at imitation. And so that's exactly what he's trying to do and will do, my friend, in the near future. We all really believe that that is so. Man has always had a a desire to worship. Whether he worships the creature or worship stones, but he will worship something. A man will, like Hitler, wanted to be worshipped himself. Stalin wanted to be worshipped. The Caesars of ancient days wanted to be worshipped, and they were worshipped. And we could go down the list. And so we have this man who will be a leader, a political leader of the world, a powerful figure, and people will bow to him, and he will be the brain. I do not believe the Antichrist is the computer of our society or the computer of our world that we have invented. No. But I believe that he will rule the world through the computer system. And it's very easy to see how he's going to do this. In fact, I understand that every child is born in America already have their social security number. I don't know how true that is. If that is true, then it won't be long until you will receive an international card, your Visa card, your MasterCard, all of those cards you could throw in the garbage can. Because one international card will come out shortly. It will be the card of the future, until, of course, the people will not need their card, but rather have a mark, and perhaps an invisible mark in their forehead or in their hand. But that's going to be your Visa card or your MasterCard card. It's going to be the card that will carry you through. But before that, you'll probably have an international card with a number. And the reason for that is all the data about you in detail, everything about you, sir, young lady, whoever you are tonight, that will be registered and it will be filed in the computer brain. Everything about you. In fact, already, I can see how this is going to be done because already they've got thousands of televisions and cable televisions out. And very few people know this, but on the end of the cable television, they've got a little eye, a camera. It's very, very small, the size of a pinhead. And so in the computer room, they could actually see the people that are viewing the television. That's scary, isn't it? That's frightening. They had it under another name, but the whole idea of that is they want to get the reaction of the people when they're watching a commercial, whether the commercial is really getting through or not, whether you're being brainwashed or not. And sometimes as I watch the commercials on television, the fellows who draft them and write them up must think that we're a bunch of morons. I've never seen anything so stupid in all my life as what they have coming over the boob tube and called a commercial. It's so stupid and ignorant, but they say it works. I'm just wondering if they think that we're ignorant. You know, what we have to listen to, that type of garbage, in order to sell a product. But be that as it may, my friend, in the future, everywhere you walk in your house, the Antichrist will have his invisible cameras beamed on you. You won't even know it. Everything about you. And if you're a person with his mark, well, you'll get by, because that will be your trade card. You won't see any money. You'll never get a dollar paid. All your money will be deposited to your... In fact, it won't be. It'll just be a matter of punching keys. Frank Perry, I'm not going to be here, by the way, but I'm using myself as an illustration, all right? Frank Perry, $275 wage, and that's punched, of course, and goes into the computer, and that goes to my number, and it's the number that's mine, and that's why the number's going to have to be printed on your forehead or on your hand, because if you ever lose your card, lose your number, that's a serious business. So the card system will probably become obsolete eventually. You've got to have a mark on your body that you will not be able to lose, but it'll be a code number. I'm not saying it's going to be spelled out 666, but I do believe it's going to be a particular code number that you will have. And that's the only way that you will do trade, get a job, and be able to buy groceries, and be able to survive in this world. And a lot of people saying, I won't bow to the Antichrist. Look, my friend, I know there's going to be a lot of people after Jesus comes for his church, which we call the rapture. And I don't want to take for granted that you all know about the rapture. But the rapture is not, the word rapture is not in the Bible. It's simply... is taken from the two words caught up, as we have in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And the Greek word is karpazo, which means snatched away, caught up. 5 times you have it in the New Testament. And a lot of people argue against that and try to teach a contrary to that, but the day is coming when Capasto will be caught up.
That's the way Jesus comes to the air, that blue line out, that great circle, blue patch you see on our chart, and there, just in case you have no idea, you're a little confused. There out, we're going to meet the Lord in the air. The Church of Jesus Christ is going to be raptured. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up. And we're going to be caught up there. And that's where the Church is going to receive her glorified body. We're going to be with the Lord. The Church of Jesus Christ comprises of every believer that have received Christ into their heart, repented of their sin, and know that they are a Christian, not so much that they're born in Christian society, not so much that they belong to a church or a church member or baptized, no, but there was a moment in their life, a genuine experience of Jesus Christ the Lord coming into their heart. Because Jesus said, our Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter it, he shall be saved. And by the same token, if sinners will not go in that door, they will be lost. John said, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. And the wrath of God abideth on him. And don't get angry with me. That's not my teaching. That's the teaching of the Word of God. But I've got to tell you, like it is. You want truth, son. You don't want me to stand up and lie and say, do the best you can. Just join the church and give your tithe. Oh, you're a jolly good fella and go straight to hell. Is that what you want? I believe you've got more intelligence than that for me to teach you that kind of garbage. I respect you more than that. I know you want the truth. And the truth of God's word is, my friend, that as he's coming for his church, every believer, and you'll find him in the Roman Catholic Church, you'll find him in the Presbyterian Church, you'll find him in the Presbyterian Church, amen, you'll find him all over. Believers that genuinely receive the Lord Jesus Christ in their hearts. And that one world church, the true universal church, will be raptured in the presence of the Lord. And so, I trust, my friend, that at least you understand that day is coming. But after the rapture, and by the way, that could happen at any moment. Any day, Christ could come for his church. But the next 7-year period that Daniel speaks about, and I don't want to get you lost here, and I don't want to get involved in that, but there's going to be an awful period on this earth, as we've been speaking about, night by night. An awful period. That's the reason why we're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. We want you to be saved from this chaotic condition. We want you to be delivered from that what's coming upon this earth. We want you to be saved. And some people say, well, I'll stand a chance after the rapture. I wonder. I know a lot of people will, but I wonder. Look at that. Don't turn to it. Just listen to me for a minute. Revelation 6. After what happened in Revelation 6, the problems that come in this life, the church is gone. And listen to who the people pray to. It says, and they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? Doesn't seem like they're praying to God there, do they? No, they're praying to the rock. And then later on, with more problems, in chapter 9 of verse 21, it says, neither repented they of their murder, of their sorcery, their dope traffic, their dope addiction, nor of their fornication, nor of their theft. They didn't repent, a lot of them. In verse 10 of chapter 11, and they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry. These were the fellows that were rejoicing when two preachers were killed. They were happy about it, and they had a real sort of a party, and they were dancing around these two men and even giving gifts out, I suppose, and having a great time, you see? And it says they were rejoicing over this murder. And then verse 18 of chapter 11 of Revelation, and the nations were angry, and it says, thy wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou should give reward unto thy servants, so on. And the nations were angry against God. Doesn't seem like they're repenting here, these people. And then later on, when you think they will repent, when the going gets rough, in chapter 16, awful things happen on this world of ours, such as earthquakes, hailstones, and so on, as we'll see in a little while. It's in verse 11, and they blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pain. Can you imagine that? And their swords and repented not of their deeds. These Antichrist believers and followers are not repenting. And verse 21 of the same of chapter 16 says, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, 98 pounds or 100 pounds in weight, falling on them. And so what happened? He says, and they blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. There you are. So the people who hear the gospel all of the time in the United States of America and here in Durham, my friend, I think there's little chance for the people here in Durham. Because when the bread line is open, when the things get tough, that's when you'll find them standing in line and glad to take the mock in their hand and in their forehead so that they could do trade, so that they could buy bread, so that they could have the privileges that everybody else is having, and after all, everybody else is doing, and this man seems to have the answer to all the problems of life, and so they take the mark in their forehead. And they'd be glad to do it. My friend, he's going to be a powerful figure. Don't underestimate his power. But then don't underestimate the power of the Lord Jesus Christ either. Right now in Japan, if you went into a certain bank and you had a bank in Japan, they'd press a few keys, and before you could walk across the street, they would tell you exactly how much money you got in your bank. Same way when I booked my passage in Miami, coming up here, they got it down already. And almost in seconds, the lady was able to tell me whether there's a vacancy or not on the plane. Book my passage. Quick as that. This is exciting. Things are happening. Two billion. Not million. 2 billion. Sets of figures can be pumped into that equipment in a minute. And that's a lot. That's a lot. And so it's easy to see how every detail about you could be registered in that computer in a day to come. And the Antichrist will be in charge. He'll have unusual power to call fire from heaven. And I might add, my friend, there's a lot of powers at large today, demon powers that are at large today. And we underestimate the power of that. I didn't want to get in that area tonight, but nevertheless, I just want you to understand that we're on the threshold of something great, exciting for the church, but something awful for the unconverted man. Because we're on the threshold of the rapture, the snatching away of the church, as well as ushering us into a period of awful dilemma in this life of ours, this world of ours. My friend, one would have to be deliberately blind. One would have to just click their heels or just turn their back on God and say, it won't happen, but it will. It will happen. It's going to happen. That's why 1 Timothy 4 tells us, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times many shall give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That's what they're doing today. And it's amazing. It's reached epidemic proportion, in fact, where people are going in for this as never before, paving the way for the Antichrist and the false prophet. That's all it's doing, paving the way for them to take over world leadership. What is different between the Antichrist? You must forgive me for the wording of this graph and being a little small. You're not going to be able to see it down the back, but I'll try to read it all for you as quickly as I can. What is the difference between Christ and the Antichrist? Well, Christ, first he came from above, John 6:38, but the Antichrist, he ascends from the pit. Christ comes in his Father's name, but the Antichrist comes in his own name, according to John 5:43. Christ humbled himself as a servant of God as well as a servant of mankind. But the Antichrist exalts himself. Christ despised, but the Antichrist is admired. Christ is exalted in Philippians 2:9, but the Antichrist is cast down into hell in the final analysis at the end, you see.
Christ to do his Father's will when he came here, but the Antichrist to do his own will. Christ came to save, but the Antichrist comes to destroy. Christ is the good shepherd. The Antichrist is the idol or the evil shepherd. Christ is the true vine. The Antichrist is the vine of the earth. Christ is the truth. The Antichrist is the lie. Christ is the Holy One. The Antichrist is the lawless one. Christ is the man of sorrows, but the Antichrist is a man of sin. Christ is the Son of God, but the Antichrist is the son of perdition or son of destruction. So down here, we have Christ, the mystery of godliness revealed, for God manifests in the flesh. That's what we mean by that. Not like a mystery thriller, waiting to see the end result. No. That just means a wonderful truth that God held back, and then when the designated moment came, God revealed it. That's what the word, the term mystery means here. And so Christ, the mystery of godliness, is when he came to this earth of ours, he is God manifest in the flesh. He was God, the personification of God. But the Antichrist, the mystery of iniquity, as we have in 2 Thessalonians 2:7. And who does he manifest? Satan. So very quickly then, Satan is the dragon. Verse 2 of Revelation 13, the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. What about the false prophet? Well, he causes them to worship. Verse 13 says, he has the man of great wonders. He performed great feats. Verse 14, he deceives them. He kills. He gives life to the image that they will erect. And it's going to be quite an experience for a lot of people that day. And verse 16 says, he causes the mark to be put there. The number of a man, 666. 2 Thessalonians, as I read of the beast, the Antichrist, is called the man of sin, the lawless one. As you notice, he rose out of the sea, which no doubt is the political figure that's in mind here. Revelation 13:1, he's the head of the common market country, or the common community market country, as it is known today. And they worship him. Great talker. And he makes war with the saints, many of them that will certainly trust the Lord during that day. Alright, what about the people? They will be unrecognizable. I believe a lot of them, in 7 year period after the church is gone, if I came back, and I want to say this lovingly, if you are left behind here, and you are not a Christian, and I doubt very much that if I came back 7 years later rather, and took a look at you, I wouldn't recognize you. That's how harrowing, how terrible, how destructive it's going to be in this world. You're going to be terrorized. You turn the television on now, ladies. Isn't it true? You can't go out at night. You're hemmed in. You're like a prisoner in your own home because of the forcible rape that we have in our society now. Just think, when the restraint of the Spirit of God and the Church of Jesus Christ are gone, the lawlessness that will prevail in this world. Think of it. I cannot even conceive exactly how it's going to be like, because even now we're reaching to a point of uncontrollable crime and uncontrollable sin. We cannot handle the situation. Look how desperate we are. We're even about on the verge of having vigilantes in Atlanta for that murderer and those poor kids that have been disappearing and been killed. It's just threatening our society, killing us day by day. Well, what do you think it's going to be like when the church is gone? When the Holy Spirit bears the church away, the restrainer, the hinderer. Now, you know what's pulling the devil from really unleashing his power upon this world? It's the church. She might be criticized and say all kinds of things about it. But I want to tell you, thank God for the presence of the church in this world today. These people will bow to the Antichrist. They will be in constant fear. They will be deceived religiously, economically. They will cry to die, and it won't be that easy. Chapter 11, they will kill the prophet, and they will rejoice in murder.
They will suffer, they will perish, and Satan now blinds the mind of so many. Oh, my friend, listen. It is terrible when you think of it, but yet it is true. But after the tribulation period, Jesus comes back to the earth. This time we come with it. The Church of Jesus Christ, His army, He marshals, and He brings them back to the earth. Why? By the brightness of His appearing. Philippians 2, remember, verse 9. Wherefore, God has highly exalted Him, who? Jesus Christ the Lord. And has given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'm glad I got an amen down here tonight. Brother, He's going to be the real leader of the world, and Christ is going to usher in a new kingdom, a new dimension. 1,000 years of beautiful reign. Fellows will be able to go out to their vineyard and take a bunch of grapes. And they'll be able to, 2 men to carry a bunch of grapes. The grapes will be from their shoulders down to the ground. Fruit in abundance. Things will grow as never before. And peace will be in the earth. And a man of 100 years of age will have his skin on his face, that like of a little baby. He won't need no aftershave lotion either. Oh, my friend, listen. There are bad days ahead, but there's good days ahead too. Thank God. The best is yet to come for the Christian. So, my friend, things look tough, and they are. And sometimes hearts are just breaking and coming apart at the seams. Look, our Savior's come not too long from now. And He's going to take us away. And then we're going to come back with Him and reign with Him. The bride of Christ, the Church of Jesus Christ, 1,000 years of restoration of Israel as a nation, but also the kingdoms of the world will be under His domain, and He will show the world how it's to be done. Mind you, He'll rule with a rod of iron. He'll be what we call a benevolent dictator, but everybody will enjoy it. It'll be just wonderful. Go about the street, there'll be no murder. No theft. There's nothing of that, and on this earth 1,000 years. And I hope before I leave I could tell you about heaven, because I'm just anxious to take one night about heaven. You see, a lot of people talking about heaven ain't going there. A lot of them singing about it, not going there either. But it's a wonderful place. We don't preach on heaven enough, you know that. I hope I could get one period in just to preach on heaven. And so, my friend, in the meantime, that wiggly line, that Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet have put down the bottomless pit, waiting for the final day, right from the prison down to the penitentiary and the lake of fire itself. And sad to say, a lot of Christ rejected will also be there with Him as well. And so, I'd like to dwell in that a little more, but a few minutes left, let's just go over some of the things we've been on. And by the way, I have a map at the back, through the courtesy and kindness of Mike McBroom. He got them, and it's Leon Bates' beautiful chart, Tribulation Map. And one you could have free down at the back on my right in the foyer. Take one as you go out and study the map. That's what we've been on, some of his projections, and we've been using it. And so the seal judgment, 7. Remember, I'm going to go through it quickly. Peace will be taken from this earth. Famine, as we described. Days, food for days, wage, and so on. A quarter of the world's population will die. If that happened now, over 1 billion people will die. Christians will be slain for their faith. Earthquakes, sun darkened, stars fall. Mountains and islands will be moved. Panic and terror will be universal. Then the trumpet judgment. That's when the angel blows the trumpet. 7 of them, and they come forth in judgment upon this earth. It's called the judgment of the third. Hail and fire fall, mingled with blood. And then you've got a third in the sea destroyed, fish, ships, and crew. Many will die from bitter poison water, sun smitten, affecting light and temperatures. We went in details of this. We're not going to go any more. And then the demonic creatures torture unsaved people. Another third of the world's population die. More great earthquakes and great hail. We said a lot about the earthquake, and we're not going to go over that again. But I didn't give you this. This is the first time I have this projection on. This slide, and that's the last series, 7 of judgment. And this period, I saved this for now because this is where the Antichrist will be angry, where the devil will be angry, and where the prophet will be angry, but this is where he meets his doom. It's been the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Malignant sores and plagues will plague the unsaved. Seas become blood. All in the sea will die then. Only blood to drink from rivers and springs. Here's your verses, your scriptures for it. Men scorched with fire and great heat. Men gnaw their tongues due to pain and sores, but they repent not. Preparation for the Battle of Armageddon. That awful battle we talked about the other night with Russia and the 200 million soldiers from the East, China perhaps. Greatest earthquake since men on the earth ever been known will take place then. Cities throughout the world will crumble. Islands and mountains will disappear. Huge hailstones fall about 100 pounds each. What are the events following the judgment? The return of Jesus Christ in glory, conclusion of the Battle of Armageddon, destruction of the Antichrist and his world leader, destruction of people who follow him. My friend, I cannot make it any clearer than that. You just have to rely on the Word of God. The truth of the Scriptures is there. These things are going to happen. A lady said recently, I don't believe in hell. Why, hell is on this earth. In a sense, she's right. When you associate hell with pain, suffering, torment, but that's not, of course, the final Gehenna or the final hell. If I may say it reverently, off the church, if the church is taken away from this world, it is going to be 7 years like hell on this earth. You wonder why we warn you? You wonder why we plan? You wonder why we preach the gospel of Christ? You see, the world is like a sinking ship. And it's going down. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the preachers of the gospel, the true ministers of the gospel, are men that are manning the lifeboat. That's what we're doing. And we're shouting to the sinners wherever we go, over here! Get in the gospel ship. Christ is the answer. Get on board. Men are floating around in the sea of life, confusion, despair, disappointment, and many are deluded. And they have a right to be disillusioned about a lot of things. My friend, they're looking to government for help, the new president for help. I've got disappointing news for you. No president can help us out of the spiritual dilemma that we're in. Only Christ can help us. He is the one that can really give us the renewed faith. He's the one that gives salvation. He is the one that gives deliverance. And so we could try to do it without God. You know, do it yourself religion. We don't need God. We don't need the Bible and all this gospel about the blood of Jesus Christ and so on. You know, it makes me kind of disappointed and sick to my stomach. You always preach the blood of Jesus washes away sin. Why you have to have such a bloody gospel, they told me on one occasion. Look, my friend, I had a nice steak today. And I didn't stop to think for a moment that poor creature went to the slaughterhouse and bang, whether shot, knife, or beaten with some kind of an axe, I don't know. But I know one thing, I enjoyed that steak, and I didn't question the shedding of blood there. I eat the steak for survival, don't I? You may be wearing a pair of alligator shoes and walk around in it. You didn't stop to think of the poor alligator that died and shed his blood so that you could have a pair of shoes to walk in, or perhaps some other creature, lady, maybe a mink coat, something like that. Nobody worried but poor me that died, or the creature that died, rather, so that you can be warm. Well, when we talk about the blood of Jesus Christ, we're getting a little deeper now to subjects that are very, very vital to us. God is talking about sin. It's the sin question that we're dealing with. You see, God loves you. He hates sin, but he loves you. He loved me as a sinner. God is not against the sinner. He's only against sin. And that's the reason why he sent his son into the world. Not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be, what?
Saved.
Good word, isn't it? Saved. And so, friends, we invite you to come on board and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. All walks of life, they're coming. Not long ago, a man walked down the aisle, a fine fella. Well, I thought he was fine. Looked fine, dressed neatly, and I looked at him, and I was so happy to see him there and discovered that he was in the counseling room, that he gave his heart to Christ. And so about 2 years later, I was introduced to the same man and didn't recognize him. Really, I didn't. He said, "You don't know him?" I said, "Perhaps I should." He said, "Well, this man was saved in one of your meetings, well, one of the church's meetings. I was only an instrument. They prayed for him, family got after him. I don't take the credit for his salvation, but however, it was nice to know that he was saved and going on for the Lord." And I said, "Myron, that's nice to know." And I discovered that he was a nightclub singer. And I took him out to a meeting one night and said, "Myron, why don't you give your testimony?" And he got up, and now he plays the guitar and sings, by the way, for the Lord. He used to sing in a nightclub. And he got up and he said, some things that he told us, it was kind of shocking, really. I hadn't dreamed that there was such a life that he had lived. I didn't even know that on one occasion but one of his friends, buddies, they were out in what he called a mission, and he said, "Man, I can't make it tonight. My wife, she's really bugging me." They are the words he used. He said, "Well, get rid of her." And the fellow went home that night and killed her. Myron said, "I didn't know he would do that, but he was a stupid kind who would do something like that, and I should have known." But he killed his wife that night. He said, "And then I was walking down one of the streets, and the car hit me, hit and run driver." But I was laid up in the hospital for months. "I can't work hard today, Frank." That is, he's telling people, he said, "I can't work hard today." He said, "Because of my condition, my physical condition, apparently so many bones in his body was broken." He said, "And for nights, after I got out of the hospital with a revolver, I was vengeance in my heart. I was searching. I would ask the boys in every bar room. All I got was the color of the car. I made up my mind that I was going to kill that driver. I had vowed that I would kill him." I said, "Man, he's coming on strong." But I said, "Talk it, brother." And he kept telling. And then he said, "That day, I walked down the aisle in East Street Gospel Chapel and gave my heart to Christ. And I never forget." He said, "You know, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, I could honestly say I have absolutely no bitterness in my heart against that man who ran me down that night." He said, "In fact, I prayed for him that he might get saved." Only the grace and the gospel of Jesus Christ can do that. Oh, my friend, look, that's just one Myron. There are all sorts of people that come to Christ, the good, moral, upright, living people, as well as sinners like Myron. And you may be saying tonight, "Well, I'm not like Myron," or you may be like the church member, you know, deep and moral. You still need Christ. And I ask you, if you just bow your head with us at this time. Father, we thank you for your word. We realize that there are dark days that are coming upon our world because we have seen it in your word. We believe your word is true. But we also believe that when Christ comes, and he will usher man into the utopia that we long for. But perhaps, Father, here tonight, there are some who are still struggling with the issue of salvation. And the matter of sin has been so besetting to them. We pray that tonight they will learn the truth, that through Christ they can be delivered. For thy word says, "He that has the Son hath life. For if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Oh, may this be true then in some hearts. For Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm going to ask you just sing a verse or two about him. 373. "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and as thou bid me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. 373. Just the first and the last verse is going to ask you to stand. Thank you for being so attentive. If you're here tonight and you really would like to be saved and like to have a word with you and a word of prayer, why not just step out of your seat and meet us here to the front where we could be of assistance to you? Because you know how it is after meetings, folks get chatting and talking. We like to have the privilege of having the word with you. Just feel free to step out. God will give you the courage to do so. The meeting is over, but remember, we'll be here at the front, glad to help you. You really want Christ as your Savior. Give us the privilege of having a word with you. God bless you.